Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your award-winning host, Jessica R. Bunavage. Hey, Jess.
Hey, Max. Can you like show your face? You're so cute.
No. It's your show. How are you, Jess?
Oh my gosh, I miss you. 2 weeks. We didn't have a show, but we needed that break, right?
You for sure needed that break because you have a million things going on. Tell us everything. God. Fill us in. What's going on in your life?
Hey, I was a godmother this weekend.
Woo-hoo. Yay. What's your godbaby's name?
Calix, but I call him Romeo. He's such a Romeo. Aww. He's so cute.
So let me ask you about, is this your first godchild?
No, I actually, here in the U.S., yes.
Aww.
Yes. It's like so cute. Like, and then here it's so funny because there's only one godmother and one godfather.
Yeah.
In my country, in the Philippines, there's like 20 of them. And I'm like, wait, this is so sad. There's only one godmother and one godfather. And like, oh, this is how we do it in the U.S. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Because, you know, and I guess also because it's, you know, COVID as well. But basically, that's what they said. They said only one. So, of course, okay. And they trust you with their baby and everything. So cute. This is so nice.
So Jess, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. Tax Day is coming up. So many things are coming up. But how are you? Like, how are you?
I'm good. I've been really, really, really good. Good things are happening, Max. We can't say yet.
I know.
Yeah, good things are happening. And then I know how much COVID is bad for other people and have lost, you know, but somehow it was also a good, you know, how do I say this? It was a good thing that it happened because you reconnected with family.
It's a wake up call.
It's a wake up call.
Yeah.
And people, which is what are we going and what we're going to talk about now is people have actually have opened, you know, businesses, small businesses from their home.
Yeah.
Right. And this is why we are talking about startup business. But Max,
today is all about startup business.
Yes, but Max, do you believe that God created us to use that special skill individually?
Here's what I know for sure.
Yeah.
That whatever our destiny, our fate, our skills, our passions are, if we don't use them, we lose them.
Right? Because like, for example, our guest for today, she has a very good career making her good money, but for some reason she wants to use that special talent that she had. Like,
well, you know,
passion.
It's talent is one thing and passion is another.
Yeah.
You know, you're talented, you create, you're starting you have your startup business, you're a creator, you're also talented. I mean, you've hosted shows in the Philippines, you've sang on shows in the Philippines, you've modeled, you've acted. So you have a talent, but it's not necessarily your passion.
Yeah.
So I think when you take your passion, it's something that makes your heart at the end of the day smile. And you take that weave that together with your talent.
Yeah.
Then that's when you create, I think, your destiny. So it's combining the talent and the passion together to create your purpose.
Oh, so good. Yeah, that's so true.
Was that good shit?
That's so good. Oh my gosh.
But, you know, before we get into the show, let's talk about your startup business real quick, because you've been doing this. We've been working together for years now.
Yeah.
It is not an easy thing, but
the
blessing that you do is that you don't quit. You keep going.
Yes.
And no matter if a door closes in your face, you will build another one. And if that door closes, you will find a window that is open to go through.
Yes. And I believe also that, you know, it's the perfect timing. It will happen.
Yeah.
It's perfect timing.
So divine timing.
And divine timing. That's why I'm like, oh my gosh, when she told me, she's like, oh my God, I do this. I help startup business. I'm like, oh my gosh, can you please? Because up to now, and then this whole COVID happened, it's actually a blessing that Max, we didn't push through with our products because, you know, this whole COVID happened. Can you imagine if we...
You know my philosophy in life. Yeah. My philosophy in life is where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be.
Yes.
No experience is ever wasted. And yes. That's my mantra in life, that no matter where we are in whatever we're doing, where we are right now is where we're supposed to be. Whether it happened, whether it's happening, or whether it will happen or it didn't happen.
Yes.
We're in the right space at the right time right now. You know, my book took 15 years, Jess.
Rejection.
Gosh. I had 30 publishers reject me until one saw the magic. And 15 years later, I didn't quit. You know, and that's like you with your business. But you know what? We're going to have a great show. Ladies, if you're tuning in right now or you're tuning in later, thank you for tuning in to Jessica, the Polished Woman. Yes, we have a great show planned for you today. It's all about startup. And what do you want to start up? And what is your desire? So, Jess, I'm turning it over to you. I'm going in control room. Love you. Have a great show.
Love you. Thank you so much. Okay. I love this quote from Princess Diana. I don't go by the rule book. I lead from the heart and not from the head. So for many of us, what we do for a living and what makes us truly feel alive are two different things. But there are some people who are combining their passions with their professions and starting business of their own. This can be a difficult task because there's so much that goes into running a business that goes beyond having a great product or service. So I'm really happy that we're going to talk about this startup business because, as you all know, I already have everything. I have the product. But it's just really the divine timing on when I'm supposed to launch it. Yeah. And people come in and out of your life and then all of a sudden, oh, this is wrong what you're doing and this is right. And it's just, and trust me, everyone has an opinion and trust me, it you have to spend money to make money. It's hard. So let's talk to our expert and the beautiful mom. She's a single mom that, she's starting a business as well. So hello, girls, Maria Palangian and Tagrid Hadraj. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Thank you for coming to my show.
My pleasure. Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to finally be on your amazing show.
I know. Thank you so much. You know, I'm so excited because I myself have a business. I have not. It's an e-commerce business as well that I have not started. But I think I told Max it's very, very. Yeah, I'm very glad that I didn't because of the whole COVID thing. And now I think this year is about time. And so, I'm so glad that I have you. Thank you for joining me. So for our listeners. Wait, where's Tagrid? Is Tagrid here? Tagrid!
Wow.
Hey!
Hi!
Tagrid is... Look at all these beautiful women. So pretty.
I'm so excited to be in this too and learn more. So.
I know. So Tagrid is a single mom with two beautiful children. And she is, I'm telling you, she is in a very, very great job. But then again, she has this passion and doing her own business, right? So let's talk about that. Maria, I want to ask you, can you give us an idea of what it is that you do first? And then what is the difference between a small business and a startup business?
That's such an amazing question to ask, but I'll start off with a little bit about myself and hopefully that will draw the picture as to why I'm so passionate about startups and small businesses, especially women and moms.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Moms. Mm-hmm. And so my background is when I was in college, I decided to get into the fashion industry. I love the fashion industry. And the first job that I got, I ended up doing really, really well. However, I was new in the industry. I didn't know the rules and didn't know that I need to have a contract before I go out there and start selling, repping for the fashion brand that I was working at the time.
Yeah.
And I sort of got screwed and they didn't pay me the commission that they were supposed to. And that was the biggest lesson where I got frustrated. And I said, I'm going to go back and get my master's degree And then I'm going to go back into the fashion industry as my own boss.
Oh my God.
And that's how my journey started. I went to grad school. I got my MBA. And right out of MBA, I went straight to entrepreneurship. And I've been a serial entrepreneur since I was about 22 years old. And I started all online companies. It was always online, direct to consumer back in 2002. Okay. So I've always believed in technology. I honestly always thought that brick and mortar eventually is going to go away and it's only going to be online. Okay. And it's kind of amazing that, you know, especially after COVID, it's really now happening. Mm-hmm. And, but the journey that I've gone through has been so amazing. I've had several startups, I sold it, and then joined an advertising agency where I helped more tech startups like Blue Apron, Bull & Branch, LegalZoom, you know, tech startups that got funded millions of dollars. And working with these startups, I learned how to do advertising at a bigger scale.
Okay.
And I learned all the tricks and the ways they do things to acquire customers online. Oh. And so... Okay. To sort of sum it up, I ended up branching out on my own because I have a hard time working for someone else. It's for me, it's not that I don't like having a boss, but I don't like having a boss. I'm going to be honest with you. I like my freedom. And yes, having your own company is hard. It's a lot of hats you have to wear.
Yeah.
But I will take the hardship over having that freedom to drop things and be there for the kids or make more money or make less money. Just have that freedom. And so with that said, I about 4 years ago, after an amazing job at New York Times, I quit my job and I decided to start out my agency, which is GlobalFly, which helps tech startups with advertising. Okay. And some of my clients are Mercedes, Infinity, Next Trucking. And then 2 years ago, almost, I started using something for my own migraines and sort of started my own CBD brand, which really reminded me and helped me understand how challenging it is to start a startup brand, you know? And so I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to hear about Tagrid's business and how, you know, we can share some marketing tips and startup ideas to help her grow.
Okay, Tagrid, let's do this because you and I are starting our own business. So tell us a little bit about it and what inspired you to start it because, you know, she was with me, Maria, last weekend. Was it last weekend or weekends ago?
And she was like,
And she was like, you know, I feel you because I'm a mom too. And it's hard to start a business. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So, oh my gosh. So I have always had a passion for fashion. I hate that it actually rhymes, but anyway, somehow with that. Fashion for fashion. So I went to Paris and studied fashion design for like 1.5 years there. And as Maria, I had like an internship at a big haute couture designer, Anne Valerie Hache. And then, you know, I saw how it is, like how they make you work day and night. You don't sleep, especially before like the runway. And then at the end, it's like, oh, hey, here, cheers, we are done. You're good, go home. And you feel like you don't get credit for anything.
Yes, that's especially, so true.
Yeah, especially France and Paris, it's very, very like bureaucratic. So if you are like a stylist, you will stay as a stylist for a long time. And the designer is the one taking all the credit. So I said, no, if I ever decide to do fashion, I'm actually going to have my own company. So I'm not going to work for someone. Anyways, I put it aside and then I came here to the U.S. and got a job opportunity. And then years went and went and I still had that. I'm like, I really want to start something. I really want to start something. And then something just like made me start it after a breakup. And I'm like, no, I'm really going to do it now because I have, you know, the time to put it on myself, on my kids, on my career, my like, you know, innovations or whatever. And it was first, I'm like, okay, how will I start? What will I do? And I just like, okay, I bought a mannequin and I started draping, and I'm like, okay, I draped one dress, you know, the pandemic and everything, being home, not a lot. You're not doing a lot. You're not going out. I'm like, okay. So I started draping dresses, and I draped up to like 7 dresses, and I'm like, what shall I do now? Okay. Now I draped it. There's nothing to do. I'm like, okay, so let me, you know, like reach out to people and see how I could actually get those, you know, like in fabric and in garments.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I started searching for like, like production companies, pattern makers, you know, like cutters, etc. And I think I was lucky because I was out for dinner with a friend and we met a group of girls, really amazing. And we start talking, and somehow the universe brought me this amazing friend called Anushka at that time. And I'm like, what do you do? And she's like, yeah, I have my own company where I actually, you know, produce clothes for people. I'm like, what? That's amazing.
Yeah.
So she helped me a lot, really a lot, you know, because like when you start a business, the first thing you think of is like, okay, what companies should I reach out to? What do I need? Like, you know, the labels, you know, where do I buy the garments? Who should I reach out to when it comes to like my pattern making and my sample making? And then the production, all that was really, really stressful for me, you know, having like an 8-to-5 job and then having 2 kids that I'm, you know, like handling all by myself. And then, you know,
so you don't know the time where you're actually gonna give time for this, you know, for your business.
And I felt like I was doing that all the other hours that I was doing my job and taking care of the kids. And I think, you know, like, I will not say that one of the issues, like, I'm very creative, right? And I think I told you that. I'm very creative. I want to do things. I want to do this and this on the dresses. I don't want simple dresses. And I think the small issue that I did was that I should have, like, took a step back and, like, okay, I do like creation, but what do women want?
Yes.
What problem am I solving?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And with the pandemic and everything, people are more for like the cozy things, the thing that will make them comfortable at home. But I still got a really good response from people about my dresses, but it's still...
It's the business part of it, right?
Yeah, so it's...
Maria, how do you think, you know, you can help her? How can she organize? Because... I just like her, where I'm also like that. We're all over. How do we start it? I mean, can you give us like a plan?
Yes. Yeah. And that's my favorite part. You know, one of the reasons why I love startups is the beginning stages. And for me, it's super easy. For a lot of people like Tangrid, she's creative. She's not technical, you know? Yes. So for her to go step by step and know what needs to be done in order to prevent expensive mistakes is not her job. That's where, you know, the MBA kicks in and the marketing expertise kicks in. So to sum it up, that's where target analysis comes in, right? You want to understand who you're going after, and you want to do a good analysis of the market. You want to understand who are you going after? What is the problem that you're going to be solving? And Tangrid, you already mentioned that. What's the main problem you're going to be solving? And how are you going to differentiate yourself from the competitors? But the one key thing is you want to analyze the competitors, because the chances are the competitors have done all the hard work. They've made all the mistakes already. Mm-hmm. And so if you analyze them really closely, a lot of your questions will be answered through their designs, through their clothing, through their best-selling pieces. Now, I'm not saying analyzing the competitor so that you can copy. Obviously not.
Yeah.
But analyze the competitor to get their strategy and to figure out, all right, well, this is what the competitor is doing really well. This is what the competitor is selling. Clearly, there is a market for this, right?
Okay.
Well, how can I make this better? How can I make it better quality or less expensive or more, you know, usable and so on? So it's all, it goes back to who is your avatar. You have to have a vision of your ideal customer. Now, for me, my personal, when I do consulting and marketing and helps women and startups, TanGrid is my ideal customer. I have a vision of a woman just like TanGrid who has kids, who wants that freedom and who's so talented, but yet, you know, doesn't want to work for someone else because she knows she's capable of doing it on her own. And so I know my target audience and I know where to go and reach and even maybe talk to someone like TanGrid to say, hey, what problems are you having so that I can create a program or a course to teach you and help you. So the same thing kind of goes back to TanGrid. Like you would maybe, you could do surveys online. You could, you know, have a group of women where even if it's friends of friends and friends, you gather them together, maybe have a wine night and just say, guys, I want to take a survey. I have all these ideas and maybe show sketches.
Do you call this like a focus group?
Absolutely. Right. It could be called a focus group. It could be called a consumer analysis. You just want to go back to a little bit of basics in marketing, because ultimately you need sales to survive. And that's why marketing, thinking about marketing from the beginning is so instrumental. You have to understand who you're selling, what you're selling, and what's your value prop. How are you solving the problem and how you're differentiating yourself from them?
Tagra, do you have any questions for Maria?
That was a lot of information. I think like what you are saying is so right. I think for me,
have you done any of this? Have you done any of this, TanGrid?
I have done a few, but then I don't feel like I don't think I think I told like for me it's not the mass market. I'm not after the mass market, right? And I'm like, I'm more after like, you know, more sophisticated, minimal, but still chic and like dresses. I'm focusing most on dresses. Like I'm not doing anything else except for dresses because I want to do one thing at a time. And then from there, you know, like expand it. And I also have like an idea that I want to do like a pattern combination with my dresses because I have seen that there is actually a market in people interested in pattern making. Like, you know, like you provide them with pattern and they will do their own garments. And I have actually already put the pattern out on Etsy.
You actually made money from that already.
I'm actually making money from my pattern on Etsy, which is crazy. But I had like a conversation with
friend Olivia. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And she like got me into thinking more into it, right? Because like today, and I don't think there is a competitor. There could be a competitor, Maria, you will let me know. But like today, all my friends that I have talked with that I have like, oh, I'm starting, I'm doing my own, you know, like collection, et cetera. And they're like, oh, you know what? I have had this dress in mind for a long time. Do you think you can make it for me?
Yeah.
You know, like it's a lot of like questions like that from my friends. I feel what I have in mind is that I want to do like simple dresses, but provide my customers with the pattern of it. So you get the dress.
Can you do
and
that?
Then, huh?
Can you do that? I mean, Maria, can you?
Yes. And then, and then they can, okay, I love this dress in black and in cotton, but what if I have it in green and linen, right? What if I have it in polyester? Oh my God, I love this print. I saw it somewhere and I just want to do exactly that same dress. Is, you know, like how to say print. And I don't think there is something similar to that on the market. And all these ideas, and I told I told Jess, like I seriously like wanted to cry like a few weeks ago because I'm getting I'm getting questions about this pattern thing. Like people are asking me, oh, can you do can you do a how to say, personalized pattern? And I'm like, no, I'm not there yet. I'm not going to do that. And I also like with actually having the pattern, people are getting more interested in my clothing. I'm getting, yeah. I'm actually getting influencers reaching out to me like, hey, yeah. I want to work with you. And I told Jess, I said, I haven't even been responding to those emails because I'm so stressed because I don't yeah. know how to manage all this. I don't know what should my next step be now. Okay, I have the pattern. I have dresses, but I have already made all these dresses. And I feel like I need to start a new concept or like build on my concept, yeah. you know? So, you know, I think that's the struggle.
Like, that's a struggle.
What is the next step? What shall I do? And I'm just, I feel like I'm stuck. I'm still doing the patterns, yeah. right?
So how, Maria,
I need
how
a strategy. We, like, I don't see the yeah. strategy, right?
Maria, how do we help her?
So she does need...
I'm sure a lot of you mom who are listening right now are going through the same thing, you know, going through the same stress, right? And you're stuck. So what is your advice, Maria? Yeah.
So I'm going to say, Tancred, you don't need help. You're actually at a place where you are... figuring out your business model, right? Mm-hmm. So what I tell
you, it's too late. I already started a year ago, but which is no. fine. Like I'm learning along the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but who said that whatever you started was the right business model? When you're starting to get traction from something that mm-hmm. you put so little energy in, you put very little energy in testing this pattern idea, mm-hmm. testing this customizable option, right? For women to be able to come and say, hey, design this dress in a linen, design it in a black silk fabric, design it in this. I want it in three different fabrics, three different colors. Mm-hmm. You are offering something that is so unique. You are offering something that is going to solve women's problems. Now, here you are, in a sense, you've had this mindset of, oh, I'm going to go the traditional way and mm-hmm. create my collection, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But you have to remember, those people that have done that have had probably millions yeah. in funding, right? They had a lot yeah. of money, and so they were able to do it. Now, if you don't have the millions in funding yet, what do? You come up with an innovative idea, and I feel like you've come up with the innovative idea where you found something that is moving forward by itself organically, but mm-hmm. yet you're still kind of like, no, that's not my business. But open up and start just putting a little bit more energy into it, and you'll see how it'll unveil by itself, and all of a sudden all the ideas will come. And going back to Jessica, you said, Maria, can that turn into a business? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say yes, because my shoe company that I had back in 2008 that I launched right mm-hmm. in the middle of us starting a recession, yes,
yeah,
it was a bridal shoe company, and I used to sell online bridal shoes for anywhere from $400 to all the way to $3,000 in the uh-huh. middle of recession. And people were like, how do you do this? How can yeah. you possibly sell expensive shoes online? Yeah. Well, it was the same sort of model as what you just mm-hmm. mentioned, Tancred, where I would place a shoe, a bridal shoe, and then I would give the brides the option to select the color of the silk.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I would let them add crystals, whatever colors they wanted. It was all personalized. I would let them embroider the inside of the shoe with their names and their husband's name and the date of the wedding. I gave them a few options, not too many, but all of this was built on my website, on my e-commerce mm-hmm. platform, where they saw the main product, but then they had at the bottom the option to select wow. whatever they wanted. And because of the customization, yeah. I was able to charge them twice as much. And so that's where you have to think profit. You have to think, how can I be profitable and different?
Yeah, that's so good. Hold on. Tancred, that's actually very good. It gave me actually an idea that, Tancred, you can actually sell your pattern at the same time, right? With your client or with your consumer, and then at the same time have the dress in it, because yeah. you can actually make it on whatever they want for themselves, for whatever. It could be yeah. a linen, or what do you call that?
Right.
It could be any fabric that they want.
I don't want to go in the line of being a tailor, right?
Okay.
But
so that's the thing, that when I said, like, I will offer, you know, the garment itself and the pattern, which means that they have the opportunity to do it themselves or give it to someone that will do it for them. Mm. But it's, I don't think like I want to become as, you know, like, hey, okay, now can you make this for me in green? Or can you make this for me in this fabric?
Okay.
Yeah, like, then you're doing,
you know, like, because like sometimes, like literally most of my dresses, even if it's like designer dresses, you always feel like, damn, it could have been tighter. Or it could have been looser, or it could have been shorter, or it could have been more open. This is actually my design, I'm wearing it. But like, you know, like, and that's what I feel like. I feel that I have had this problem myself. I have myself, like, you know, took in stuff on my dresses or on my pants, or on my tops.
Yeah.
And it never gets perfect. Even if you do it yourself, it's never perfect. So when you have the pattern in front of you, you can literally cut the pattern, make sure that it is the way it is. And then like, you know, get the dress you want in the shape you are. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, like highlighting this too much. And maybe it's not a problem so often.
No.
Can you, I'm so sorry, Jessica. I just have one more question. Can you emphasize a little bit about the pattern that you're selling on Etsy right now that you're getting traction? I want to understand what problem you're really solving here.
So I think the people buying my pattern on Etsy are people, like one of the girls, she was telling me that, oh, I'm trying to redo this jacket. So I'm using your basic pattern to actually get the jacket that I want.
Yeah.
And another one, like she bought, like, I had a pencil skirt, you know, and she was like asking, how long is it? Like, is it below the knees? Can I make it longer? And I'm like, yeah, it's just a pattern. You just, you know, like you just continue straight on that pattern that I gave you and you can get a long skirt. So like people, as I told you, like people are doing this because they have something that they are not satisfied with. They know they will not be able to find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So they are using patterns to actually get that. I have another friend of mine. So she's like, I like to have a slit in the front of a skirt. And she has been searching for it everywhere. And she cannot find like that exact skirt that she wants with that slit. And if you, let's say you buy my skirt with a slit on and you get the pattern, then suddenly you take that pattern, give it to the tailor, tell him, hey, can you do it shorter? Can you do it wider? This is what I
do. So how do you make money, Dagrid, right now? Is it just giving your patterns away for now?
Yes. I did it in Illustrator. And I have extra small, small, medium, large, extra large. I have 5 sizes. And it's digital, so they just print out a PDF, they tape it together, and they cut it, and they have a pattern.
Can I just add one thing? I'm just, it's such a crazy good business idea.
Yeah, right? I know, I'm actually trying to see, I'm seeing it. I'm actually seeing what you're trying to say.
You know why, Tangrid, coronavirus happened. A lot of people lost their jobs. Yes. They don't have money. Yes. Guess what they're doing? They're making their own clothes and they're trying to be bootstrapped. So you're solving a problem. So I would say, put at least 20-30% of your time into this and just push it forward. I'm serious.
I know I'm going to cry right now in this meeting because I don't know how to get the time. Like it's hard. It's really hard. I'm trying to put at least 2 hours a day on my business and I feel like it's not enough.
Yeah, I know. I feel for you. I feel for you. It's hard to be you know, a single mom with 2 children, even 3 or even just 1. And then you're working, which is giving you, your living and then trying and pursuing this passion of yours, right? I mean, Maria, how can they really start? What are the 3 most important things that people should know when they start a business?
That's a really good question. And they need to know that it's normal as once they get into a business to pivot. And I feel like that's sort of might be what's happening with Tangrid. And maybe this opportunity is something, Tangrid, you didn't think that is your ideal business to have, But maybe it starts moving forward and generates so much money for you that it can start funding your dream collection to grow and all of that. So that's how you have to think of it, you know? Don't think of it like, oh, no, this is not the ideal business that I want to do. I don't want to sell patterns. But why not? If it's easy and all you need to do is put a little bit of marketing dollars behind it to boost it and promote it even further, do it. It's a way for you to generate money in a way. You can do it while you're sleeping, literally. If you have a separate website, maybe even
put that's all the images. Funny part. That's the funny part, because like I'm not touching, I'm not doing anything. And
it's
they are up there online and they are selling, and I don't have to ship. I don't have to monitor it. I don't have to do anything. It's just there. I just have, you know, like to produce more patterns to put out there.
That's it.
And I'm working on pants right now. So I'm in the process of making.
So
pants.
Maria, the main expenses for a startup business is for what? Like,
so the main, yes, that's a good question. I'm going to go back to the three things you have to do when you're starting out. Yeah. You want to have a website. You have to have a website, whatever it is. Even if it's the patterns, have a small little website on Shopify or something. And Shopify is easy, where you can upload your imagery and people can download, buy it directly from you, not even Etsy, so you don't give commission. But Etsy right now is great because you're generating traffic from there. So it's a good start. Eventually, you can do your own. So website is a must. If you're starting out, you want to test something, whether it's clothes, a product, services, whatever, you want to have a website. I like the bootstrapped method, where I tell people, if you have an idea, you don't need thousands of dollars to start it.
Wait, can you repeat that? I want all our listeners to have to listen.
If you have a business idea, whatever it may be, whether it's baking cookies or starting a candle making class online, or it's literally selling patterns online, it's an idea. You're solving a problem. Mm-hmm. Start off small. You do not need thousands of dollars. You start small, you test it. There are so many marketplaces. You don't even need a website to start testing the idea. I mean, look at what happened to Tangrid. She didn't even think of it as a business. She put it on Etsy and it's selling by itself. Now imagine if she actually puts a little bit more effort into it, creates more patterns, puts it and starts promoting it on Facebook and advertising, and has Instagram influencers promoting it who are, you know, creative DIY influencers. Mm-hmm. You're going to blow up with this, whether you like it or not.
Right. I have started very small on Instagram, and it's crazy the outcome I have gotten from there. Crazy.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
You have to tell me all your Instagram address later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, what's your Instagram?
Mine is Tagrid Hodroy Collection. It's the company.
Okay. It's her full name, collection. Can you spell it? They're asking.
T-A-G-H-R-I-D. H-O-D. R-O-J collection, C-O-L-E-L-C.
Okay, so if you want to support her, follow her. And so Maria, continue.
Yeah, so going back, if you want to start the concept, you don't need much, just create your product. Take imagery. If it's a product, then you need images. Go on marketplaces. Be bootstrapped. Go on Etsy. Go on, I mean, right now you can go on Walmart. You can go on Amazon and you can start selling it. You don't even need to understand marketing too much to test your concept. Oh. You can just basically start off really small. But then once you see that there's traction, like Tangrid is clearly getting traction, then you want to take it to a whole different level. You want to expand on your product collection a little bit. You want to have a super simple website, and you could do that on Shopify, which costs anywhere from $14 to $28 per month. And they have a ready-made platform. All you do is upload images, write the description, your website is up. You don't even need
a there.
Yeah, it's so easy. Why wouldn't people do it? Sometimes I'm just like, if you have a good idea and a product, just put it online and
so you don't have to spend like thousands of dollars for a website. Oh gosh.
Not anymore.
What is the best? Okay. Oh my gosh. I literally just paid Okay, I don't want to say.
You need to call a website.
Well, you can help me. I'll let you know. I have mine up, and I did it all by myself.
Yep.
How much is? I mean, really? Seriously?
Yeah,
how much did you pay for it, Tagrid? Yours?
I'm paying. I think it's $29 a month.
Yep.
That's it. Oh my gosh, Maria! I should have like called you.
Yeah.
Who is the best person for that? For this one? For this? You know, the web pages and stuff.
I think Shopify is
the best
because they have so many marketing opportunities. What are you using, Tagrid? What platform are you using?
I'm using Shopify. I actually started with Wix.
Yeah.
W-I-X.
Yeah.
What's
and I
Wix?
Think they are good, but I didn't feel that they were a good fit for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So I changed to Shopify. So I'm doing Shopify now. So, but Wix, I have many of my friends that are running like personal training. They are running Wix. I think it's more suitable for those. Mm-hmm. And you can also do like normal shops there too.
Mm-hmm.
I just prefer Shopify because of, you know, like different, I had the finished platform that I could put there. You know, they support different payments. They support different ways of actually.
This is from Wix.
Running your business there, and so I found it more clean, more stable than Wix.
Yes, yes. Maria, what else? Oh my gosh, I've actually learned so much. Yeah, we need advice. We have like 5 minutes. So,
I'm going to wrap it up. The main things you need to get the product, the concept tested. So in startup world, in the startup tech world, it's called MVP, minimum viable product. You don't want to spend thousands of dollars. You just want to get the test product out there and you want to test it. So you need a website, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to think of your target audience. You want to do a little bit of homework and understand who is the target audience? Who are you going after? Where are these people? Like Tangred mentioned that she's looking for the minimalist. She's looking for a little bit more sophisticated. She's not going for the masses.
Yes.
So it's a good thing that she's focusing on a smaller market. It's a niche. The chances are she'll be extremely successful when she figures out where these people are. Mm-hmm. Are they at spas? Are they at meditation and yoga places? Well, if they are, then I need to figure out how to connect with these people. Maybe go to yoga places and spas and leave flyers or have some kind of a promotional offer partnership where they can promote you via email or whatever.
Yeah.
Once you figure out who the target audience is, then you start thinking, how can I go find these people?
Yeah.
Where can I go to get closer to them, right?
Okay.
So once you figure that part out, then that's when the third step comes in, marketing. So I would say first clarify, clean up the product, you know, make it look beautiful, take pictures if you need to, put it up on the website, simple website, nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the competitive analysis in general should be done way before. But if you don't, it's okay. Just do it, understand the target so that you could start on marketing. And then marketing comes in. You want to think of where these people are. Who are they following? Where are they getting their news from and so on? And you start reaching out to the people that are the top influential people. Meaning, I'll tell you, for example, with Roma Leaf, my CBD brand, I reached out. I'm trying to target moms.
Okay.
I think moms are stressed all the time with anxiety and like crazy.
Yeah.
So all I'm doing is reaching out to mom. I'll send you a free bottle of CBD if you promote my product. And guess what?
Yeah.
They're agreeing. It's a trade. And so you could do the same thing. Tangred can easily send it to that sophisticated minimalist influencer and say, hey, I want to send you clothes. Can you promote in return? And that's it. And it goes slowly, it starts rolling, and you'd be surprised how quickly you could grow, how easily you could grow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wait. Okay. We only have like 2 minutes. I'll give you 1 minute ish. This is like amazing. I've actually loved. Listed whatever. I'm writing notes, Maria. Okay, just last question. I mean, for Tagrid, before I'll have Maria last. Tagrid, what advice can you do you have for other women in position who are looking to start a business?
I'll say actually what Maria said is, which I also did. I did not like start working on something for years and then launched it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do 5 dresses and I launched them. And then I did 2 patterns and I launched them. And now I'm doing more patterns and I'm putting it. Now I think I have 4 patterns on Etsy. Okay. And, you know, like I have started my second release of my collection. So because you have to learn, okay, did this work? No, it didn't. Or did it work? Yes. Okay, it did work. So let me see how I can improve it. And when you come with something for a year or two or whatever, and then you launch it all in a clump and it doesn't work, then you wasted so much time on something that did not work. And then you have to start from the beginning. Okay. So my advice is forget about creating an LLC. Forget about all this admin stuff. Create a small portion of it and put it out there and see, is it working or is it not working? And if it's not, what can I improve?
Thank you so much, Takrid. How about you, Maria?
I mean, Takrid nailed it. I think she gave the best advice. I think one thing I would say is don't overthink it. Just take the leap. Just take the leap. You will not regret it. I promise you. Just take that chance and just start. Start with whatever you have.
Yeah. Maria, where can they contact you?
So actually, they can contact me on Instagram at the moment. Maria with the Y. It's spelled M-A-R-I-Y-A.
Okay.
With W-I-T-H-A-Y, letter Y.
Okay.
And I'm actually launching my website, Maria with the Y, in about 2 weeks, where I will have a lot of free resources, a lot of free worksheets and simple marketing, like influencer marketing tutorials, where you can watch it for 20 minutes and say, okay, this is how you partner with influencers. This is how you can do this.
Oh, so I love that.
I'm starting to put a lot of the stuff that we do on a bigger level for bigger clients, but we're simplifying it and now giving our own secrets to smaller businesses so they could do it on their own.
Thank you so much, Maria. Oh, I might have to like have you again.
My pleasure.
Okay, so speaking of social media, that is going to be our next episode for next week, Monday's episode. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And thank you so much, Maria. Thank you so much, Takrid. Okay, so being your own boss can be amazing, but you have to learn that being in charge and taking charge are not always the same thing. If you're ready to take change, take change, but are unsure where to start, remember to ask for a reputable help. So you can start contacting Maria. Thank you so much for listening to us. And next week, we are going to help you, and guide you on how to do the social media influencers and stuff. That is our, and my favorite things before Mother's Day. Woo-hoo! Yeah, so many fun things. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Thank you. And I see you next week.
Jess, aren't you happy to be back?
Oh, my God, I'm so happy.
You know what? We didn't talk about. We have 1 minute to go. What? J-Lo and A-Rod broke up.
Oh, my gosh. Is that for real? I thought they got back and then.
No, she confirmed it.
Oh, she did. Okay.
But you know what? She is one woman who is an entrepreneur and who does her thing and who does her business. Oh, and she knows how to do it.
Yes, she knows how to
And
do
so
it.
Do you. Give love, Jess.
Give love to the next person that you see after watching and or listening to our show. Thank you so much. Bye. Through faith.